Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Chris here. Welcome to Hardcore Listing with the aforementioned and Stuart Roy Witham. How are we all? Hope you're well. Stuck into January now, hey? Got the new year off, best foot forward and all that jazz. What New Year's resolutions have you already messed up? I didn't make any this year because you're all still screaming out for me to shave my head because I lost my bet from last year and didn't bother paying the consequences. Hey, not a man of my word. So, this week, we have two very lovely guests who travelled all the way from lovely, lovely Wales to come and record with me and the Whiffster, as I like to call him now. It's the Dope Ramblings podcast of Chris and Reese, two gentlemen who aren't national Welshmen, but have moved there. Reese from the heady shores and lands of Austin, well, Texas, I believe. Is that guesswork, Reese? Have I already got that wrong? He's from America, you know, they're all the same out there. I don't know how many people have offended by saying that, hopefully a lot. Reese and Chris, lovely chaps, do a podcast called Dope Ramblings, where they pop on a film and then comment and do commentary over it. I can't talk, it's early, forgive me. And it's really good. This season they've specialised on films starring Leonardo DiCaprio and it's really cool. So they do like some more oddball ones like Critters 3, The Quick and the Dead. I think that's a really cool idea. They've covered Inception, they're recording Man in the Iron Mask as we speak. And they're pretty cultured. Those guys know a lot. And you're going to see that as you go over this podcast and listen to their top five, which, oh my God, top five movies of all time. Why haven't we done that yet? Well, the guys come on and talk through their top fives. And me and Stu basically force them head on to do head to head. And then we vote what one we think's best. Because that's fair, right? Isn't it? Anyway, I won't go too much on. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Reese, for travelling so far. You can also catch those guys over on one of our Patreon episodes this week because they did one and we talk about beer and all sorts of other good stuff as well. I think we did a bonus episode with them because we had a real good time with them. Shout out to Love Beer, our normal sponsors. Charles, I haven't seen you for a while, mate. I'm hearing threats that we're supposed to be going on tour with you. I can't imagine how much carnage that will be, and if we do that then it would be rude not to have Luke and our other sponsor Bang Boom join us for that sort of trip. So shout out to both those sponsors.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello. Welcome to Hardcore Listing.
Welcome.
We are in the Within.
Inside.
I guess we're already here. They've already been here for about an hour and a half, and we're loose.
It's taken us an hour and a half to set up.
We've loosened up. We've
we have, yeah.
The gents have travelled down from Cardiff and travelled up from Cardiff, I guess, and they've bought a selection of not just Welsh beers, but I believe there was a Scandinavian beer in there as well. And so we've sampled some beers, which will be available on Patreon, that podcast, very soon. So if you want to hear us drinking lots of beers and talking about beer and other dumb shit, then that will be coming out on Patreon in a couple of weeks. So head over to our Patreon page and get involved in that.
other Patreon releases we will be doing soon is Top 5 Weapons, I think we've recorded today. And
I should also say that Top 5 Weapons was definitely our most fucked up podcast we've ever done.
Yeah. It was really weird. It got weird.
Actual, or were you making shit up?
No, actual.
Some were practical. Yeah. Yeah. Everyday household items.
So much.
Okay. Others were utterly, utterly impractical.
Yeah.
And, you know... Yeah, that was weird. And we did top 5 childhood fears as well, which was fun as well. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, we could have done a hybrid of that, of taking out them fears with the most macabre weapons you could think of. Okay, today's guest is the Dope Rambling Boys.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Chris and Reese.
I'm Chris.
I'm Reese. Yeah, thanks for having us on, guys.
We've already done these kind of intros on the one we've recorded already that's coming out after this, so...
But in that one, we only really spoke about... Well, we did beers, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did some beer stuff. We spoke about a few different bits. But what we didn't do, I've been itching to really chat to you guys about, which is handy now, is really your podcast itself, what you guys do on it. Mm-hmm. So you basically talk about movies.
So I just talk over them, really.
Yeah, film commentaries,
really.
Yeah. So it's like Google Box for films without having to use your eyes.
We say Google Box.
It's Gogglebox.
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 I'm so not
out
with
of
you,
time.
Am I? Yeah. Oh, I'm sus.
So it's a bi-weekly sort of film commentary podcast. So we sort of talk over the movies. And we basically just pick one of our actors or actresses. So we've done Leo DiCaprio, Jim Carrey season 2.
Jim Carrey coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. Coming up soon, yeah. I think that starts mid-February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pick 6 films through their career, span their career. Basically just talk about all the trivia, goofs, any backstage sort of... any knowledge we can get our hands on about the film.
Our highest one right now is... We did Basketball Diaries, which is a great film.
It might be my favourite DiCaprio movie.
It's my favourite one we've watched.
Yeah, it was the best one we definitely watched, and I just couldn't stop talking about Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg,
yeah. Yeah. Marky Mark. Yeah.
So you get in these rabbit holes. It might have been the first movie I saw.
It's the first movie that he really did after his music success. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just the kind of tangent. We just talk about whatever we can feel
You notice when we go through the movie, you go into rabbit holes and you delve into deeper things. But Mark Wahlberg and his workout routine took up a lot.
Have you heard Chris D'Elia's?
But then someone the other day spoiled Mark Wahlberg for me because did you hear about the story where he punched a... like someone till he was blind?
No!
Yeah, see?
Oh,
it's ruined Mark Wahlberg for you.
No way.
Yeah. When he was 16, apparently, he attacked a Vietnamese man and called him a very racist word.
Mm.
To the point where it blinded him. But it came out...
What, with the words or with the punches?
with both.
Just
But it came out the other year that the guy pardoned him because he forgave him for his actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because of
the Basketball
Diaries.
Well, for
something.
Yeah.
I reckon it was
great performance, mate.
He was strung out on drugs.
You did well in TED, so cheers, mate.
Yeah.
So that sort of ruined Mark Wahlberg. That got told to me last night.
I didn't know that. I mean, we can all make mistakes, but punching someone blind...
And calling him a very racist word.
Yes.
What do you think about all the actors who are being called up for like the things they did 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't gone back. The guy let him go. He was like, oh,
yeah, he was like, I forgive him.
Yeah,
I don't mind him. He's actually all right.
It's healthy to do that.
He was a 16-year-old kid from the Bronx. He's leave him alone.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah, very complicated. But he was good in Boogie Nights as well.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, right? So my film knowledge isn't great. And when you think of the classics and the big ones,
the fact your podcast is about films and your knowledge is not very good.
So this is
it's called guesswork.
It's got ramblings in the title.
Yeah.
You've covered it off.
Basically the big classics I've never seen. Mm-hmm. So when you think of Star Wars,
Independence Day, never seen it.
Independence Day,
seen it.
Get out.
So like Star Wars, never seen it. Godfather, never seen it. Like all the massive classics, I've never seen it. However, as you'll tell by my list. The films that I do watch, they've all got a very similar theme.
Yeah.
And they all centre pretty much around the fucking same basis.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So when you, like, I'm quite an indie hipster when it comes to films. Uh-huh. That's basically the spoiler. So yeah, the big ones I don't watch. So when we go do these like lists of what we want to watch, basically I just want to go for the ones I've never seen that I've heard are really good.
Yeah.
So things like the Basketball Diaries we did, I've never seen it. I've heard it's really good.
It was really good.
We did The Inception, which I'd never saw before that, which was really good. Like it was an alright movie. I got really confused.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That.
And then, but it was really annoying because we recorded like a double header. So we do it in my house. So we were in my house. We did Inception, which is like a 2.5 hour film. Got quite drunk and watched it and recorded. Then decided to watch The Revenant straight after.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
So we were probably recording for about 5 hours.
That's a long old haul, guys.
And it was fucking horrible.
The thing is that there's not much dialogue in Revenant. There's just not. A surprise, you basically get an actor just for getting mauled by a bear these days, you know? But,
cinematography in it is shit hot. But I think if you've been watching another film for 2.5 hours and you've had a few drinks, you're not going to have as much patience.
So, again, my list... Like cinematography, I love cinematography. I do a lot of photography. Mm-hmm. I love all that sort of that style. There's none in my list, but Wes Anderson is probably my favorite director.
Not Wes Craven.
But like, I love the way he shoots films. I love the way he styles films. I love the way he styles the actors and actresses. How he like portrays scenes and sets up scenes. The Revenant. It was just one of those films where. I think it justified me being really pissed off at how bad it was, to be fair. We watch the films, we talk over them, we do it, and then at the end of the film, we normally give like a little review. We normally go off their Rotten Tomatoes score, IMDb score, and then we say about how we think we would rate it now. Yeah.
After seeing it.
Yeah.
So we usually do a pre-rating and an after rating as well.
Oh, so how hyped you are.
Yeah, and so then we go into it going, we think it's going to be really good, I'm expecting this, I've heard lots about it, this. And at the end we're like, actually, you know, it was fucking shit.
Yeah.
The Beach was one of them.
The Beach was probably one of the worst films ever.
Have you seen The Beach?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we going into it, because we did it as our Halloween special. Yeah. Because we thought it's probably the most... It said psychological thriller on it.
Right, yeah.
We took it at his word.
Shark.
Yeah. That someone stabbed in the neck once and it's dead. Because that's how sharks work.
Yeah.
But we were like, it sounds really good. Great cast. And then we were like, actually, do you know what? It was actually massively garbage. Yeah, why have we watched it?
It's been so long, I can't...
It doesn't hold up.
I love the Morselin by Bobby. Great soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realise All Saints are in it as well.
Pure Shores.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big single for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then we did like Critters 3.
Yeah, Critters 3. Do you know what? So when I was looking at the things that you've been doing at like Randlings, I didn't realise you had a Leo theme.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
really?
I was looking at it, I saw Quick and the Dead and I went, good choice. I hadn't seen, like, basically, I remember it from when I was really young, and it was always advertised on
Sharon
Stone. Bad Boys. Yeah. I believe
so. Yeah. I've got some Sharon Stone facts.
Gene Hackman.
About that film.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
So she basically, she paid for Leo to be in that film. She's the co-director. It's one of the films she co-directed. And she wanted Leo DiCaprio so badly for that film.
She paid for it out of her own purse.
Because she wanted no one else to play him. She's like, I know the person that's in mind. I want this person.
That young, fresh-faced lad.
Yeah.
So I've got a way he can pay that back.
Well, this is where it comes into it.
Really? Really?
She was like, I want him in. And they became really friendly on set. It's almost like mother and son.
Oh, yeah. Why?
So, but when they have their kiss and sex scene, basically she described it as sexy as kissing my own hand.
I remember.
She
said that.
Yeah, she was not interested at all.
Yeah,
supposedly.
She was
like, I didn't want it. It was horrible. I liked him too much as a son almost.
Mm.
But yeah, it was a massive thing.
Okay,
Sharon Stone doing that as a role.
Before we get on to your first one.
Can I just say, I saw you've done The Quick and the Dead.
Mm.
Then I saw you've done Basketball Diaries.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I saw Critters 3 and I was thinking,
there's Leo here.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure. For some reason, I thought it was Billy Zane in Critters 3, but he's in Critters.
He's in Critters 1 and 2.
He's in 2 as well.
And the fun thing about Critters 3 is it's basically a flashback.
It's not funny.
It's a flashback of Critters 1 and 2 for about 30 minutes of the movie.
I
And but then the last 10 minutes is Critters 4.
Yeah. Because they filmed at the same time.
Critters 4 was filmed almost simultaneously to Critters 3. So as soon as they finished rapping on Critters 3, they instantly went on to Critters 4 filming.
Yeah, I like
with
this.
No break.
No, I really respect this as a production house. They were just they've gone beyond the point of caring.
And I'm pretty sure it was released within 8 months of Critters 3.
Yeah, respect.
So there's literally so the first 20 minutes you're just being recapped on Critters 1 and 2.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the last 10 minutes is just Critters 4. So it's only about 50 minutes of Critters 3.
It's a great movie. Actually.
I mean, basically, any scene where they're in the flats, that is just Critters 3.
Yeah.
Before and after, you can just forget it.
Yeah.
It's mine. But then again, that's 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Leo's only zero film.
Yeah. So yeah, that's basically what we do. We go deep into the back history of them.
Deep into the back history.
Pretty much. Leonardo DiCaprio.
And you've got Ace Ventura. You've got Jim Carrey coming up.
We've got How the Grinch Stole Christmas was released on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, unfortunately, had a glitch with their episode.
Massive error.
Yeah, basically lost about an hour and a half of it. So only had 20 minutes. Yeah. But the funny thing is
27 minutes of it.
The funny thing is we were talking about getting Chinese food. It's like a Christmas treat at the end of it. And we literally just finished that. And then there's nothing. So we re-recorded an ending of us just eating Chinese food. And and then here we are.
we were in the middle of talking about the American tradition where Chinese and Jewish families go and have Chinese food on Christmas Day. Because obviously they would celebrate all the year. And then literally Reese was messing around trying to save the file, trying to do this, trying to do that. And we were just chowing down on Chinese and Reese went, fuck, I think I've lost it. And god damn. And then literally it glitches out. It's well, this is the fucking outro, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then it just cuts to us. It was it's probably the major thing we've had.
The only issue we've had so far.
Our first one was recently with Josh Ashtrop, fellow podcaster. And literally the one we didn't end up recording was the one while we were talking about the fact that we, thank God, had never not recorded one. I'm now looking at this.
And making sure it's on.
Yeah. But no, I did that even with the one we recorded, didn't I?
Jesus.
And it still didn't record. It is insane. We're talking about it. Shu can vouch. I was literally going, the funny thing is, and you were saying, I always check. I'm always looking to check.
Yeah.
And I did that while we were talking.
Nothing.
Got home, which is blank. And we were like, fuck. I don't know. I figured out what had happened.
But did you not hear about Huey? One. Yeah. So Hugh Morgan, before he kicked his podcast off, his first guest was Gervais.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And recorded it. Sat and apparently Ricky got right on the level and was talking as he'd never spoke before.
And then lost it all.
Nothing.
Wow.
Guys, I've just taken a sip of this.
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
Amazing. Wow.
Really good. I've got to be honest, I'm not feeling that.
Oh, oh, get off.
It's got an aniseed edge to it.
It's this molasses, isn't it?
What is it?
Molasses.
So, to bring you up to speed, the lads bought a load of beers down.
Are you having that?
No, go on. I'm not feeling it. And they've bought loads and loads of beers down.
Some fancy beers.
Really amazing beers. And don't hate me because I don't like this one. But this one's come in a bottle the size of a wine bowl. Well, it's a wine bowl, basically.
From Tuol, who are the... Swedish?
No, I think Norwegian as well.
Are they Norwegian as well?
Yeah, always beer in Norway.
Oh, yeah, so they're Norwegian. It's a sweet berry and molasses. So it's apples, blackcurrants.
Oh, actually, here we go. Part of Belgium, actually.
Belgium.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry. There we are.
That did not do it for me.
Oh, yeah.
This is again, on the short list of probably top 10 breweries in the world.
Yeah.
So they do things like... Oh, no, it's Lervig. I'm thinking Lervig again. I've got Lervig on the mind, basically.
Yeah.
I'd love them.
So, before we get on to your five as well, we've just discussed what we're drinking. How did you guys sort of come to decide to do a podcast? And what was and was there any other ideas you had about what podcast to do before you settled on the concept?
Well, the thing is that, I was working...
as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Exactly. No, I was working was Small Bar, but now is Beelzebub's. So basically, it's been a venue change within the last year. And
this is a bar in Cardiff, right?
Yeah, this is a bar. This was a bar in Cardiff. Chris used to work there, and I didn't really know Chris, but we always had a good chat. Always joking.
We were friendly.
Yeah,
we weren't best mates, but we were really
Chris
friendly.
Chris was in the middle of recording his.
I was doing my solo because I've got. Hopefully, I'm going to be releasing a solo podcast in the middle of the year called "Losing the Will," where I'm watching Will Smith movies from Rotten Tomatoes score best to worst. So gradually they get more and more.
That's a great title.
Do you have a? Can you tell us what's your favourite Will Smith movie?
£7. But
I haven't even seen £7.
But surprisingly, really low Rotten Tomato score. I think it's in the 30s. Oh no, it's like 56.
Really?
It's really low.
Quite divisive, and same with
Pursuit of Happiness. Mm. Like that's surprisingly got a really low.
He's an action star though, isn't he? Will
yeah.
Smith? That's the reason.
But yeah, that's what I was in the middle of doing, and I discussed that with you. I said I really want to do this.
Yeah, so when in school I did media studies, or not media, electronic media, so I'd done...
You didn't take school seriously then?
No, not really. But I did, like, my main class was like TV news and audio production, so yeah. I had all the tools to do it, and I was like, well, why don't we just do a podcast together and do a movie one? My thing was how do you sit down and just discuss movies? It can be a lot of fun, but it can be really boring. What if we just sat down and watched a movie and we just talk over it, and then we're not doing any weird copyright thing? We're just collaborating over it, and it's a really nice and easy way to like knock out an hour and a half.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And then we thought, throw beer into the mix.
Yeah,
exactly.
And let's have it.
Yeah. So we tried one. I didn't have a recorder yet. I didn't have a microphone.
So yeah,
just on my laptop. Critters 3.
Because we're only a small thing, we do it from my studio flat.
We just
a laptop with a mic in, and we just sit it down.
Yeah.
We normally record from the beginning. Yeah. And then the next episode is.
That's the beauty of your podcasting, right? It's just punk rock as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah. But we've had actually a really good. We've had a good month.
I think.
I was quite shocked. Like. We both went in not expecting anything.
So I wanted 100 listens. That's all I wanted. I was like, if we get 100 listens from this tiny little podcast that we're just doing for a laugh, don't want to have a mess, like, just want to have a laugh. And I think last month, I know it's not massive numbers, but for us, I think we got like 178 last 30 days. And I think we're nearly 250 now.
Nice.
So we've already hit basically what I wanted to hit.
So
now anything above or anything from here is really just a bonus. Yeah. We just want to have a... So we just do it for a laugh.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think if you pick it, you know, pick something that you want to do, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And then, like, so then when you do get those, when it does exceed your expectations, you're like, oh, shit. Yeah.
We've had a laugh.
Yeah.
We've become proper mates.
Yeah. And then now we've like bring in other friends into the mix as well. So all season two, we're going to have three guests.
Hopefully three or four, maybe four.
So I think every episode we might just bring one of our friends along.
Because we found, annoyingly, that the Grinch was like the best dynamic
and
we've had.
And we lost it.
Because it was me and then our mate Simon, the beer nerd.
Yeah.
And we were having a right old laugh. There was three of us. Simon was chiming in with weird facts. We were all doing it. We were all having a laugh. And then, I think like that dynamic really, really works. So we've got our mates Sanders coming on.
Yeah, we're going to do... I think for that one, we're going to do Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, both of them in one go.
Okay.
Do a 4-hour podcast. Maybe we'll do two parts. Yeah. But there's a drinking game, apparently, where you just drink. There's like the whole time.
Certain things go on.
And then
it's a bit like the
you do both
Planet
of them
Lens
in
Flare.
One go. Yeah.
You ever done Planet Lens Flare?
No.
With the new Star Trek movies? So basically...
That's genius.
There's a thing about,
totally with you,
There's a thing about Planet Lens Flare where you do... every time a lens flare flashes up, you've got to take a sip of beer. And I played this at when I lived in Cornwall with some mates. Fuck me, is it hard?
It sounds like Power Hour. You know, like thinking a shot of beer shouldn't be that hard every minute. But then after about 50 of those, you're like, I'm done. I don't want to do any more shots.
We used to do the 100 Club. And it was every minute, shot of beer.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No. Power Hour. We were only young, and we'd literally go out, buy a case of Foster's or Carlin or whatever was cheap. And then, for the first 15 minutes, you're like, oh, God,
I need one.
And then before when you get to
70.
You're just thinking, 60, that can't be a minute. That can't be a fucking minute, man. I've literally just swallowed that. Yeah. And you're
gets
fucked.
Harder.
Because literally, in an hour and...
You're drinking like six beers.
You're drinking like six pints in like an hour and a half. And you're just fucking mangled.
Yeah, I know. That's a very fun, popular college game.
That was the night. We done that. And then we just thought, right, we had no more booze. What can we do to get really fucked up?
Started sucking each other off.
So, pop my pants then. No, and like, we literally fucking... No, like when you used to get, like, you'd boil up whatever it was and smell it to clear your head, like Vicks.
Yeah,
in like,
no.
But we got his dad's bottle of Curos aftershave, boiled it up with like tea towels over her head. And I remember my mate Danny going and coming up, smashing his head on the extractor. The extractor fell down, smashed the whole like top of his glass hob, and he was literally just laying on the floor covered in Kuros, the boiling hot Kuros, in fucking bits.
Fucking
good night out, man. 100 Club, don't drink, kids. Yeah. Right,
we don't condone drinking.
No, not at all. No.
Safely.
So you've got your top five films of all time.
Yes.
But you've got five each.
Yeah.
So for number five, you're both put forward a case, and then do me and Christy decide which we think.
We'll tell you what one's right and what one's wrong.
Yeah,
I think I've got a bias here because yours is a super American list.
Yeah, mine just represents me growing up, basically. So.
Right.
Whereas I think mine is like,
more well-rounded.
We'll get to my list when we get to
who's
it.
Gonna, yeah. Who's going to start?
Don't start defending it, Reese, because I've seen both your lists and I think they're both very good.
So. I think my list is great. I just think that not a lot of people agree with me. I've had a bunch of people tell me my list is awesome. So
yeah,
I'm just
we've got honourable mentions as well.
Yeah.
But we were going to do top five Black Mirror episodes.
That's nice.
Which is very relevant now as well, because obviously Bandersnatch.
So. And I've not watched it yet.
No.
I went to watch it yesterday and I just ran out of steam.
So. It's one of those ones where you've got to... So when I first watched it, I did about three or four different ends.
Yeah.
And just like different paths. Yeah. But I finally got to the one that was 5 out of 5.
Yes, it's pretty good. That's what I would do as well. I just wanted 5 out of 5, made me feel good inside, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. But we were going to do our top 5 worst films, but then Joel and...
Josh,
those cunts
beat us to
it.
Fuck those guys.
So they beat us to it. So top 5 films of all time.
Right. Good shout. Right, okay, let's do it. Let's smash in. Right, 5.
Who's going to be a gentleman?
Go on, Reese.
Alright. Coming in at number 5 is Pineapple Express.
Okay.
Yep. I just think there's a couple good reasons. Gary Cole, Bill Lundberg from The Office. Mm-hmm. Office Space, rather. Just classic. This came out when I was just smoking weed. Just started. So 16 years old.
Yeah.
Drive myself to the movies. Great movie. Was it Seth Rogen, James Franco? First time you actually see their chemistry.
Was it their first time collabing?
No, because they were in Freaks and Geeks. But big first time, big movie.
Yeah.
Classic. And then the first time I ever seen Craig Robinson and Danny McBride in a movie.
Was that really?
Yeah, exactly. Because he's in The Office, but I think it's before The Office.
Shit.
So Craig Robinson.
He's a great actor.
He's amazing. I've seen
Have
him.
Have you seen him lately?
I've seen him live.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'll check you out.
Yeah. He played at in a festival in Austin, and he played music and comedy. It was amazing. He played the piano, can he?
I don't know.
Craig Robinson.
Oh yeah, he does in The Office, doesn't he? Yeah. He's in the warehouse.
Yeah. So I would say that's
Who
my
is
reason.
He in the warehouse?
He's Daryl.
Oh, right.
In The Office. Yeah. The American Office.
Yeah. Literally watching them all again.
Again.
But, I guess those are my reasons.
That's an investment at the time.
Yeah. Is that 11 seasons of your life?
Too good. That's not sense, but he's just gone self-employed.
He's got a lot of spare time.
No, I'm trying
to catch up on that Pornhub box at the moment.
Your playlist is getting smaller.
And Danny McBride has become an ultra superstar, in my opinion, lately. Because it's just, there's no role that
you see. Except for Land of the Lost.
I would say it also, what's the one we did with Natalie Portman and James Franco, and like it's back in the Middle Ages or something like that?
Your
Highness.
Your Highness.
That was just okay.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay. It's another stony comedy.
Like,
exactly, it's a bit of a stony comedy. He was in Alien Covenant, which is like, I don't really want to talk about it too much today, but he weren't too bad in that. It's just, it wasn't his fault. That's not his fault, man. But he was Kenny fucking Powers. Have you ever watched that shit?
Kenny Powers?
Yeah.
Eastbound and Down?
Oh, my God.
What a show. What a powerhouse of a show.
Yeah, it really is. It's just, Danny McBride plays a prick.
Kenny Powers, Pearl Jam, Alive.
Oh, God, that's so good. Like, I'd love to see, Danny McBride plays a really great prick. And him and Gervais, I'd love to see together. Because they are belligerent as hell. What did you think of, I know we're talking about Pineapple Express, which I think we'll come on to. Do you see, is it The End of the World?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
Maybe. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, quite liked
my
it.
Mates
yeah,
was
a movie you'll really love. The night before Christmas movie.
Really good,
amazing.
Yes,
movie.
I enjoyed it as well. Yeah, amazing. I thought it was very good. Yeah, I thought that.
Gordon
cool.
Levitt is amazing.
Always.
Yeah,
he's just a great guy.
He's a legend. Okay. I think the first film I saw him in was. This is going to be about an 8-hour long podcast, I can tell. Brick. Have you guys seen Brick?
No. Yeah, it's on, I've got it's it good ready at home, but I've not watched it yet.
Worth it.
It's on my list.
Yeah, interesting. So, Pineapple Express, yeah. I think James Franco in that, because he's the... Was he the dealer?
He's the drug dealer.
Yeah,
and he's... small-time dealer.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, he's, it's, like I said, classic stoner comedy. It's basically not... Obviously, you got Cheech and Chong back in the day... But as far as a new generation of stoner comedies, this was like the first one.
Yeah.
And it was like, there's really nothing. Like, when I remember when it came out, MIA Paper Planes, such a hit song at the time.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
The Millennial Stoners podcast.
Like I said, it really hit a chord at the time. 2008, I mean, shit.
I can't even watch Cheech and Chong now. I get scared. I get the fear.
Really?
I used to smoke a lot of weed, and I used to watch that, and bad things would happen.
Oh, no.
It's just like, I can't even
just like.
There's a time of my life that's been boxed away now.
Yeah.
So I'm more than happy to watch Pineapple Express.
You haven't sucked anyone off for ages. It's
been a week. Not that I've told anyone about it.
So what are you rivaling it with?
Dead Man's Shoes.
You are fucked.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately,
I told you, my list.
You're going to lose that one.
I might win one of these.
Yeah, so I thought I would have a British film in my top five.
Totally.
And it was between Dead Man's Shoes or a film called Cashback. Never heard of Cashback?
Tell me what.
Who's in
Cashback?
So Cashback, I've got to fucking remember. So it's about a guy who breaks up with his girlfriend. This is going to be the common theme of my top five now. And basically he develops a sort of insomnia where he can't sleep because all he dreams is about her. That's all he wants is her back in his life.
Okay.
So to combat it, he goes to work at a night shift at Sainsbury's. And then from that, it's a whole cast of characters. It's not a comedy, but he basically discovers that he can freeze time sort of manipulate what people are doing, and he can just drop a whim, and he's like an artistic, he's sort of intellectual, and he can do whatever he wants basically when the time's frozen, and then when he clicks his fingers, everything's back into motion.
Comedy moments ensue, or
not even comedy, it's kind of a bit of a sad film.
Probably a bit of a downer.
It's a bit of a downer movie.
You gave it to me to watch, I just didn't do it.
It's very good. Released in 2004, so it's quite an old-ish one. It was a film four film, actually. Mm-hmm. Same as Dead Man's Shoes. I thought, I have a British film. And I remember watching Dead Man's Shoes with my brother for the first time. Mm-hmm. Maybe when I was about...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
16?
Still never 15? Seen Devon Shoes. Can you tell me what it's about?
So it's set in like a small town.
That's spoiling.
Derby.
Spoil it for me. I will never watch it.
No, it's one of those films where you can't talk about it without spoiling it.
Okay.
Because there's so many bits and pieces.
Because there's a dead man with shoes.
Yeah. But basically...
That's the movie.
Guy comes back from the army, goes back to a small town, discovers that these local drug dealers and villains and whatever you want to call them, have been basically pissing around with his brother, who's disabled, played by Tony Kibble, who's in Black Mirror.
Rock and Roller.
Yeah.
He's Rock and Roller,
fucking
mate.
Fucking very, very good.
He is a great actor.
And the leader of the gang is Gary Stretch.
Yes.
Former middleweight boxer.
Yeah. And so he goes back to this town to confront these people who have been dicking around with his brother. Mm. And basically goes to extract revenge on him. And horror moments ensue, basically. We all remember the scene in the house with the gas mask.
Yeah.
Iconic scene.
Paddy Considine.
Top
Paddy
five
Considine is the is the lead actor and director as well, I think. Yeah.
Did he direct it?
No, Shane Meadows.
Shane Meadows directed it. Considine was part of it though.
I'm just gonna throw this out there. It sounds like
yeah.
It sounds like Meadows. Walking Tall by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, it's not at all.
It sounds exactly the same movie.
But as we were talking about Rotten Tomatoes score, I was really surprised. It's 56% of
one. Okay. No way. I just feel like the world has just ended.
Okay, yeah. Just going to throw it out there. Pineapple Express, 68%. Wrong.
Yeah,
okay,
but that's the critic score.
I guess Reese wins.
So the critic score was 56. Audience score, 91.
Hmm.
So it really goes to show you how...
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you love it, I love it.
I don't know anyone who doesn't like it, though,
exactly.
Chris.
Apparently 44% of the world hates it.
Well, the world's critics.
We talked about... Yeah. We talked about on our podcast in Rotten Tomato. Literally, it's really harsh.
They're fucking
way too harsh. It needs
bastards.
To be. It's like
so when you see something that's got like 10% on Rotten Tomato, you can almost guarantee it's got 40 to 50 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's about a 20% difference.
What was the difference on Greatest Showman?
I watched that with my mum in Christmas because Stu wouldn't stop shutting the fuck up about it.
Ruined Christmas.
Yes.
Are you?
Mm. Ruined Christmas Eve for me and
really?
My mate.
Oh, Gene Hackman.
And she's unwell, and he's
no.
Hugh Jackman. So it's 55 Rotten Tomato.
Too much of that, mate.
55 Rotten Tomato. And 7.7 IMDb.
So it's
there's always a 20-ish.
Yeah, it's about a 20 difference.
Because
like.
That was the one that critics slammed and then people voted and it was...
What a great show.
Pretty good.
Really.
And it was... It must have been the biggest film of last year. Or well, another year before now.
Oh, you mean Rhapsody?
No, I guarantee that must have been one of the biggest grossing films.
I think critically, it was obviously panned. Mm. Yeah, many, many, many people went out to watch it. Mm. Many
I watched
times.
It and I didn't hate it. I really
did you just
like,
think
of really
Stuart
like But yeah,
I see you're making out that like I love a musical and I love watching fucking Hugh Jackman films. I went to the cinema and when it started, 2 minutes in they started singing, and I went to Layla. Is this a musical? And she went, yeah. I thought, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, I was crying.
Jesus,
nothing happens 20 minutes into it.
20 minutes. All he did was feed someone some dinner, probably.
Oh.
Tell someone they could be successful, and you were like, this is it.
I don't know what's wrong with you, mate. Really. But you went back and watched it and still had that.
Second night.
Did you?
Second night.
Two nights in a row.
Two nights in a row.
Oh, but it was a bad mistake because obviously my children loved it, my wife loved it, and we've had some dinner.
You're like, oh, I see this coming. Yeah. I know what's going on.
Well, we had some dinner and then.
Got deja vu here, guys.
We drank a lot of wine.
Ah, that was it.
And then it was like, should we just get a cab to the cinema and watch it again?
Did you go with you? Did you? You're watching it with your wife?
My kids.
See, I always feel that.
As if I'm going to go and watch that with me, mate.
Just on your own.
Like,
just popping down to the cinema.
That's Pip style. I ain't going to the cinema on my own.
I love going on my own. But
same
then,
cinema.
Same actually, yeah. Yeah, it's easy.
No drama.
Go to a
matinee. Nat and Nando's are things I will do on my own. There's one other thing. Yeah, no, I think when you go to... I always notice it with one of my best mates. So we've got very similar... When you get besties, you end up having very culturally similar...
Yeah.
Same cultural references and jokes and like... So me and Mark Irvine of Mark Irvine Fest, and Pip to an extent, we have very similar movie tastes. Every now and then, Mark will go, no, I really like that. And I'll be like,
are you sure?
That's out of character. And then all I'll say is, who'd you go to cinema with, Mark? And he'll go, Kelly. And I went... Soften the blow. You've liked it because you know you've had a nice time with your missus. So yeah, I think that's what happened. Greatest Showman. You're just really in love with your wife, mate. That's it. That's what
we don't share any taste in films together.
Do you not?
She likes
nothing.
She likes good films. You like?
No, we watch Split, and both
Split's
really enjoyed that.
Good.
Oh, right, cool.
I'm
looking forward to the new one.
Yeah, man. Last, yeah.
Really good. Ooh,
April.
I saw the trailer for that. Mm.
Looks
really,
really
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even in the may have made the top 10.
But Dead Man's Shoes is the sort of thing that I immerse myself in. Horrible
absolutely.
British.
Absolutely. So I was going to put Kill List in as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sick. Really good. So have you seen film, that yet?
Of course.
Curious. Yeah, yeah.
That film has got some serious moments in it.
Yeah. Like, no, it's amazing. I've
just the scene with the priest and the he's hammering his hand on the back with it. Is it fire extinguisher? Mm-hmm. Fucking hell.
Very dark.
You seen Journeyman yet?
No.
I'm too scared
to. You want that one? You want Paddy Constantine again? Wrote, directed, and starred. Boxer that gets a brain injury.
Yeah.
With Jodie Whittaker as well, incredible. Who's fucking incredible.
Oh mate.
Our
buddy Mark, I was just talking to, said he was trying to watch it on a train, which Pip obviously had a right go at him for because Mark was trying to watch it in parks.
Man.
But Mark was like, I couldn't. I had to turn it off because he said I was just.
Emotional.
I'm just falling apart.
It's the only film I've ever had to turn off, go out the room, compose myself, and go back in and watch the rest of it.
I did that for 127 hours.
Never seen it.
It's a great film.
Yeah, but I mean, just the when he's touching the nerve on his arm, it's rough to watch for me. I had to leave the room.
Yeah.
Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that, like, I watched Adrift as well, which is a movie about a woman who tries to go across the cross Pacific with her boyfriend, hit a storm. Boyfriend's dead, and then she has to make it back to Hawaii by herself with a broken sailboat. She lives, it's a true story, and she still sails to this day, but it's fucking terrifying, like out in the ocean by herself like that.
What's the title of that one?
Adrift, I'm pretty sure it's called.
That's not that old, is it?
It was like last year.
I watched the one about the tsunami with Ewan McGregor.
Where
his family get that's I'm fucking pretty, horrible. That's that
amazing.
Is.
Yeah, that one's good. Yeah.
True as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another one. Yeah.
You've not seen that? The tsunami scene when it hits.
Yeah,
a
bit much.
Intense.
I like the true story. Have you seen Bait?
No.
And it's the true story of a tsunami hitting and it fills a supermarket and everyone's stuck in this supermarket, literally on the top of the shelves of the shelves, you know.
Shit.
And it's all filled with water and there's a fucking great white in there with them.
No. That's not a true story.
It's not a true story. It's an amazing movie. Yeah. It's recently been released on Netflix. And if you like shit films, which I do... Watch Bait.
Speaking of shit films,
it's a supermarket. The shark's going to eat the food. it's just going to go to the deli counter.
It's going to go to the deli. Well, he does that first, though. But he does that all in one mouthful.
So, have you seen Bird Box then?
Not yet. No, like,
no,
really.
I haven't seen it.
It's just a blindfold thing. Yeah. My kids watched it.
Fucking
did
shit.
You watch it?
I hated it.
Oh, is it bad? Really?
I hated it.
Is it like because people have drawn a comparison to A Quiet Place? And
I loved A Quiet Place.
I didn't see that one.
I must say, I think the premise of Quiet Place is really good.
Clever.
I really, obviously, bloody Jim from the American Office. So it was decent. I felt like it could have been better, but I'm probably being a bit harsh. It was good.
Very
movie.
Good film.
It was a good movie.
But yeah, lots. Of, it's similar.
Is it? It's just The Happening, isn't it? Where they just
it's
die
it's
for
like
no
reason.
It's
like the opposite, really, because it's more sort of obviously sight based, not sound based.
Yeah.
I thought it was shit.
Oh really?
I haven't seen
it. I thought
it
was really bad.
That's
it was basically a film where they tried to cram a love's fucking love plot line into it.
Well, you said that as well on our podcast. Like
every film
movie has
a love,
to have a love
they have
interest.
To. Have
well,
to.
You guys ever read the book with 1,000 Faces, which is all about that? We saw Joseph Campbell, which is how stories are written. It's really good for what you do.
Yeah,
it's great to read that, especially if you're film fans and that, because it teaches you story narrative. So, like you're saying, Chris, about you end
everything
up going, you falling
yeah.
for the same thing. And for me, the thing that induces tears is always the same thing. It doesn't matter what it is. I was in the cinema the other day, welling up, and it's like it's not a tearful. It was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I watched the other day.
Oh, nice. Grow up.
No, Stu, it is amazingly good. It's an animation.
Cartoon.
I know, mate. It's so good, dude. And I was welling up in that. It's the same triggers for me. And Hero of 1,000 Faces talks to you about those sort of journeys that you go on.
Is it like something that's like so like human that you just see it and you're like
definitely. Yeah, so it's worth a read if you can ever be bothered.
So
where was so we?
So who wins?
Dead Man's Shoes. I'm sorry, bro. I can't.
The British film wins it all the time.
I mean, it's totally not fair, but I think it's
also because it's Paddy Considine.
Yeah.
He just wins.
Paddy's
the
greatest.
And all I can say without giving away, it's got. I love a movie threat. And his threat to Gary Stretch in that is beyond.
At the pool table.
When he's in the street.
Do you cunt?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Great.
It just switches. Instantly.
That one.
It's in the palm of your hand.
You're right, yeah.
And it just, me and my brother bonded over it, like, this is when we first started, really. Because I thought that's, like,
British films are shit. And then I watched that and thought, you know,
Shane Meadows does that to you, doesn't he?
I thought that film is fucking
Shane Meadows is a
and just the genius of that gangland boss gets out and he's giving it the big one.
Yeah.
With a load of lads in a Citroen 2CV. The rest of his crew in a 2CV.
Oh, no.
Fucking brilliant.
Right. Wow.
Incredible. I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's our resolve. Thank you.
Very much. Yeah, go on. Do you want to throw a film in yet?
What, my five greatest films of all time?
Yeah.
Or just anyone?
Fucking hell. I don't know. I've just obviously talked about all my films and Brett's things. I don't want to repeat myself. Go on, Chris. Throw one in.
Oh, any, because I did a whole almost just five list. Without ranking them, because it's difficult.
Well, I did this. It's really I did that. I had 47 was my original list. 47.
Narrowed it down a bit.
And I was like, I have to get it to five here. This is going to be fucking absurd.
I would say, I've not really spoke much about Aliens, but Aliens blows my fucking tiny
mind. The whole series?
No, Aliens number two.
Yeah, okay.
Well, not Aliens 2, Aliens.
Aliens. Yeah.
I loved Alien, obviously, Ridley Scott, and it's so good. There's so many reasons why that was genre-defining in itself as sci-fi
horror.
Have
you seen any of the new ones?
Yeah, no, I get upset. They're breaks awful. My heart, man.
The latest one was trash.
Really? Honestly,
the thing is, I don't even care. I'll spoil the fuck out of this movie. Whenever there's the rogue android and then there's another android, you know exactly what's going to fucking happen in the movie. And it's like, oh, the bad android's going to take over the good android. And that's the fucking movie, the last Alien movie. It's terrible.
It's bad. Yeah. And if you even hear about how they produce them, it's like you're going wrong immediately. You're setting off on bad foot. But Aliens, James Cameron, is just an absolute epic masterpiece, in my opinion. Not only of... Like, they did it on quite a tight... It looks like a really expensive movie, because it is. It was big budget. But even so, if you watch the making of... Like, it seems so real when you watch it. But how they're making it, they're literally putting rubber face huggers on fish wire and pulling them across the floor at points. And yet you wouldn't know that when you watch the movie. Yeah. It's a really good movie.
It's the beauty of cinema as well. Yeah. Just sort of totally. Making hundreds of millions of people just fall into a world of... what they perceive would be the real world. It's like, it's just this amazing, which is why cinema's great. Like, it's
definitely, man. And Cameron's really good at that. Like, they say he's a bit of an arsehole to work with, because he just knows what his end result he wants, and he's only interested in that. And so if you're sort of, like, not delivering that, he's like, look, you just need to, let's cut the niceties out of it.
Yeah.
Do this, and stop fucking up. But yeah, I think it's brilliant. Not only is it, I like a bit of science fiction. It's scary. The plot is awesome. It's got the best payoffs in movies. So a payoff in a movie, as I was saying to my missus last night, is we was watching Killing Eve, which is some BBC thing drama. And there's a quick scene where she picks up a switchblade and a gun. But she puts the switchblade in her pocket. And I said, watch out for the payoff for that. Because she did it very quickly. But Molly went, well, why are you? What's payoff mean? I said, look. They wouldn't bother filming that if there wasn't a reason for it
it's
later
subtle,
on.
Subtle nuances.
And there's the plot device of it in the end, in that particular episode. She uses that knife when you least expect it.
Yeah.
And so the payoff in... There's loads in Aliens, but the biggest one is when she's got the power loader at the start. She's like, oh, can I help you out using the power loader? And you just think, she's just being handy. That's Ripley. And then it ends up being the biggest thing where that's how she fights the Queen Alien and you're really rooting for her. Like, you can't... I don't know. I just get so behind that movie. So for me, Aliens...
I think that's a strong choice for number five.
Yeah, dude, yeah, I was so obsessed with the
I know you said there wasn't any order, but that's a strong
that's
movie
a pretty
choice.
Strong
yeah, I thought I'd throw it
With payoffs as well, and it almost made my top five, was 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, that's a good movie, yeah.
So the payoff in that film is when she starts getting into it with... I can't remember his name now, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
The lovely boy.
Basically, she says, I'm not looking for a relationship. I don't want a boyfriend. Mm. That's the payoff.
Yeah.
Because then you think, they're going to end up together, they're going to be there forever. And then when it gets to the point where she ends up being married and you're like, oh, they didn't make it. It's like, she always said from the beginning that she didn't want a relationship.
But that's what ruined the movie for you.
Which has ruined it for me now, because now I know they're never going to get it. This is it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the whole big payoff from that film is, you know, but still, almost made my
The big payoff in Pineapple Express is whenever they're all friends in the end.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
And they're just sitting there. You think that's all. It's years later and Dale's on the radio. No, they're just sitting in a cafe.
Having a bit stoned of a fun as time. Fuck.
Eating some fucking omelets.
Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris, number four.
So, weirdly, this actually bumped 500 Days of Summer out of my list. Because they've got very similar filming styles.
Well, like you said, boy meets girl, girl doesn't like guy.
No.
No.
So this is Blue Valentine, which is a Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams film.
Yeah.
So it focuses on a couple who are, at the start of the film, you see the end of their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jump cuts to different times of their marriage, very similar to 500 Days.
Mm-hmm.
So you start off at the very end where they're out of love and they're arguing, and then you cut to the beginning where they first meet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cut back to like maybe midway through their marriage when they've just had a daughter and sort of how everything is there and they're all loving and then everything's good.
When's it set?
I want to say it's set in the time it's filmed, so probably mid-2000s.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But what makes it amazing is the director, Derek Cianfrance, basically would stir shit up between the two actors, and like the actor and actress, so Gosling and Williams. So he would purposely feed lies to Williams and be like, oh, Ryan the other day said that this, to purposefully get it to a scene where they would genuinely hate each other. Wow. So I think I read somewhere that they filmed all the happy scenes in three weeks, and then he forced them to live together to provide tension, a real tension between the two of them, where he would feed these lies to them, so that when they went on then to film the breakup scenes, they genuinely didn't like each other.
Yeah.
And like a lot of it was improvised, so he would give Gosling lines and say to Williams, just react to whatever Ryan is saying, and the same vice versa. So it really gives you a nice like feeling of, because when you go into an argument with your partner, you never know what they're going to say. I think the filming of that gives it a good true of what it would like.
It's quite fucked up though.
Yeah.
It's fucking messed up.
Have you never seen it?
It's rough that we do with actors. Like,
it's amazing.
It's like, Christ. I think it's interesting that he's done that. And also, it's like, but like you say, Stu, like, it's really in ways clever he's done it. And also, well, look, shit, you're paying them. Do you need to fuck them up? Do you need to twist them up like that to get that extra little bit out of them?
I mean, it made Chris start boring.
I'm like, not saying it's a really good movie. Like, I watched that on a date. It's weird to watch that movie on a date. But it is a cool movie. And I felt that what was clever about how they did that is how I always felt that in that movie that Gosling liked her more than what she liked him, really. And
massively.
And they were almost getting repeatedly fucked over, and he was actually all right about it. And
they
were almost
forced into a relationship as well because of the kid. They were forced almost to stay together.
Yeah.
And when in fact she wanted nothing to do with him. It was very clear from the beginning.
Yeah.
She was already in a relationship.
Yeah.
And it was only because he was obviously working in the old people's home and doing removal work that they met. And then she was in college. Obviously, they got together. But yeah, it's a really fucking quality.
I like
quality
that
film.
I like why it's hard for that reason. It's a hard relationship.
Yeah.
And for that reason, it feels.
Feels real.
It feels more real than almost any other relationship I've seen in a movie. It's really good for that.
I watched this film for the first time probably 2013.
Yeah.
And I was going through my first serious breakup.
Yeah.
It was a long term relationship, it was dead in the water.
Yeah.
But for reasons, we wanted to stay together or whatever. So it felt, literally, I felt like I was living this movie because it was like...
So damn
it. It was crazy, which is why all 500 Days almost went into it. Because it was a game, same thing, you always sort of fucking go through the same thing.
That's why Aliens made it into my top.
Because it's
very similar.
But yeah. That's number four.
Good
show,
Chris. Very good show.
I thought more people would have heard of it, to be fair.
No, I think it's one of those ones.
If you want to get gold out of Michelle Williams, you don't need to plant seeds of doubt in her mind against Ryan Gosling. Put her in a studio with Hugh Jackman, mate. Have a little sing song.
Have a dance number.
I'm going to go for a wee.
Crack on, mate. Sure. Oh, okay. So while you're having a wee-wee, Reese, step up, number four.
Basketball.
Yeah.
1998 classic.
Yeah.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Matt Stone, yeah.
I think it's a great movie for what it was in an era.
Yeah.
Because before South Park really became what it is now,
for sure.
Cultural phenomenon, before their movie,
had they
they had not released a movie yet.
Had they done any South Park by that point?
They had, I think, 2 seasons in.
Yeah, because I remember watching basketball and this is back in the day when video stores were a thing. And I remember, I remember finding it in, weirdly, not even Blockbuster, it was my local one called Trindyhay Video Store.
Oh, well.
It wasn't called Store. It was called Shop.
Trindyhay Video, I think it was. Right. Something like that. I can't completely remember. It's guesswork.
Right.
But it was, I'm sure I still watch it on VHS.
98, definitely would have, 100%. The first time I saw it was on VHS.
Yeah.
And like I said, just so true to what the 90s were.
Yeah.
Like, it is classic. I don't know if you watch any Miramax film with Kevin Smith.
Back in
that time.
Yeah.
It hit the same plot points, you know, and like maybe a little slaps of humor. Yeah. Guy gets the girl. All the stuff. It hits all the points that make what really 90s movies were meant to be. And also, I think it's one of the ones that a lot of people probably haven't seen. It's one of those weird ones where it's like you totally missed the radar. It didn't have a very good box office.
Yeah.
It was kind of a flop as far as movies go, but it is, if you watch it, it's on Netflix now. I watched it the other day.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it still holds up. It's still good.
Oh, great.
It's one of the things where my fiance doesn't really like the movies I like. She doesn't like the stoner comedies, although she really loves Seth Rogen, which is a good thing. There's hope for her yet.
When
I showed her Basketball, she was like, I can't believe you like this movie. And then halfway through the film, she was like, all right, this film's actually really funny.
Because
they are geniuses when it comes to comedy.
Well, they are geniuses. And I think that's the thing is, I recommend you watch it. Especially if it's on Netflix.
For me, so with my choices, I kind of just went with either directors or actors that I liked and then picked their best movie.
Sure.
And originally, I had Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, the South Park movie.
Which
is a great
movie. That almost made mine as well.
It is a musical. One of my favorite movies of all time. I can rewatch that movie forever. In fact, I haven't watched it again. I need to watch it again because it's been so long.
I watched it over Halloween.
Did you?
Yeah.
It holds up almost. I chose Basketball because, like I said, I felt like it's underrated because I don't think anyone's seen it.
No, I'm glad. It's a great shout out, man. It's almost like, have you seen? So for me, that shows like, I think, the quality of their humor, and it's also like another movie that not many people have seen, which is Orgasmo.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Orgasmo is amazing.
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah. It's like that's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And
have you seen the very first movie they ever made?
What was it?
Cannibal the Musical.
No.
I wouldn't say it's worth the watch.
Yeah.
But if you've ever seen Book of Mormon, it is very much like that.
Right.
It is very much like their roots, and it's just them about... they can't leave the Mormons alone. They were always about the Mormons from the get-go. It's about Mormon settlers going out west, and this guy become accidental cannibal and starts eating people. And he's singing about it. He's singing about how hard it is to, you know, meet people what he likes, and then he gets hungry and he has to eat them. It's a great movie. I don't think it's highly. I don't think it's not. It's an art film. It's what they did when they were in university still. It was like their thesis or whatever.
Fucking hell, they're
so
smart.
They're geniuses. They really are. That's why it's on my list. I think, like, as far as two people who. And, like, they want to cancel South Park now, which I think they should. Like, they're done with it. They want to be finished.
Mm. It's with institutions long. Like that that they're just.
Well, we were talking about The Simpsons as well. We were
so
watching
before
it.
Before we left, it came on, and I thought,
man, when are you going to be done with this?
Fucking going.
Yeah.
They've surely run out of. I know they like to stay, quote unquote, current and whatever's going on.
Have you watched
any
of the new South Park this season?
No.
I mean, it's kind of hard to watch it over here. I watch it. You
I don't
know,
think I've seen South Park since about season 12, maybe.
Yeah. But it's really. The new season's really good. But you can tell that every episode they have at the end of it, hashtag cancel South Park, because
just
they're done.
Get rid of it.
They actually have a crowdfunder to pay them to leave. They want to
fucking
leave.
That happened to Weezer.
That. Did it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Weezer's fan
reasons.
Club
yeah.
set up a crowdfunder to stop Weezer making music.
No.
Yeah. You know, Weezer played in Bridgend like 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
They played in a small bar in Bridgend. They don't even do shows.
Really?
But they played in Bridgend.
They're fucking legends.
Yeah.
But they're saying, mate, off the Green album, should have just stopped.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to laugh.
But yeah, nah.
They want to get rid.
The last thing I had, they don't have a fucking cover of Toto.
Africa, yeah.
Man, I'm
what?
Not. I'm not
yeah, it's a good. It's have a good cover as well.
It sounds exactly the same.
Oh, it's different, but it's good.
It's a bit more quote unquote rockier.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't have that. Like, I don't know. This is the band that made Pinkerton, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will just say I prefer Wheatus over Weezer.
Really?
I prefer Wheatus, yeah. I think Truffles is a fucking underrated song.
I can't remember Truffles. Can you remember Truffles?
No.
Yeah, it's...
They've just got back off a tour in the UK, my mate's band. And Wheatus have just played 10 dates in the UK with A. And...
They're underrated as fuck. Like, they are super cool.
It's really weird that Teenage Dirtbag has gone full circle now. From being like that song that everybody thought was great when it came out to the most irritating record ever. And now that next generation, when you drop it in the indie clubs now...
Oh, they go mental.
They're having it again.
They're mental.
It's almost... It was a victim of its own success, that song.
Too good.
It really was.
And they're not American, are they? I thought they were American.
Were
they not? I thought they were.
No.
Weird.
Yeah.
Are they not?
No. I think they're like Swedish.
No. Both pick up our phones to Google it.
Guess what going on here?
Yeah.
Chris, I'm going to leave you to choose who the winner is because I've not seen either of those films.
Have you not?
So what did we have? We had Blue Valentine and Basketball. Well, yes. Yeah. I'm going to go with Basketball here.
Oh.
Woo!
I'm going to say
that because the problem with Blue Valentine... Is it cuts too deep?
Yeah.
I remember watching that on a date and I was kind of like...
Chris, what's the Rotten Tomato on that?
Oh, Rotten Tomato, yeah. So Blue Valentine, 87.
It's 42 wins out, yes!
Yeah, it proves critics
I think
nothing.
I think Blue Valentine, I think the thing is as well, Chris, is me and you probably share a God. I think before we start recording, you're a big Gosling fan, so
yeah,
I mean, it's fucking amazing. I thought it was good. I don't think it was... I think that was unique, that as it retold a romance story.
But
there's something special about Basketball for the reasons Reece said. You know, like, it was... It's unsung.
Are they Swedish?
Mm.
No, they're American.
I saw the little show.
I think they're based in somewhere now. Because
probably it's their massive fan base.
Yeah, maybe.
We found we get a lot of Brazilian listeners, weirdly.
Oh, we get 1% in Nepal.
1% Nepal.
Nepal?
Nepal. Yeah. Got a big Nepalese following.
Yeah.
we get... I was actually looking at ours the other day. And so,
I haven't looked at it recently. What,
so, Australia, quite a lot.
Yeah. So I've got my personal Instagram and my, obviously, Rambling Instagram, both on business, so I can see where people are coming from. My personal one is 25% Australia.
Right.
I've no idea why.
Yeah.
I post nothing about Australia.
You got any mates who've got out there?
No. No one that I know currently lives
this
out
there. This is our ACAR stats I'm talking about.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Are they quite big over there, though?
I'd say like a big percentage is... I would say it's like obviously sort of 60% UK and the rest is America and Australia.
Australia. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is odd.
Although you say the rest is, there's people dotted everywhere.
Mm.
When I've looked, it's Indonesia, I've seen
people. Oh, yeah, when we got looked into it, that we've literally got
strange,
like fives and tens in all
sorts. We've got Sri Lanka as well. That's
bananas
our that's
places,
the, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking mental. It's really interesting, though, to go through it and like actually figure out, like, yeah, Sweden, Nepal.
I didn't think there was that many deluded people in the world.
Well, what it is, what I think it actually is when people are travelling to those countries.
Yeah,
like,
that's a very
just download
good point.
Well, I know that...
And they're like, oh, I've got to listen to... I've
sit
got
by
to
the pool.
Sit by the pool.
Well, I saw that 2% of my personal one was from India, and it just so happens that my ex-girlfriend has just moved to India. So I was like... Just keeping tabs, obviously.
Keeping tabs,
thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. So life's great.
Yeah.
Been living it up.
Yeah. All my Instagram's popping off. She's looking every day.
So there you have it. End of part one with the dope rambling lads, Chris and Reece. Hope you enjoyed that. We recently did a post with Chris and Reece about the Kevin Smith movies that we didn't cover and their top fives. And that got retweeted by Kevin Smith himself, so we were super hyped about that. Anyway, catch us for part two, probably in a few days. Cheers!
It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu
present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.